You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Repeat After Me. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hey, New Point, I trust that you're doing great. I want you to know that I love you, and I am thankful for each and every one of you. And I want to give a shout out to those at Worcester and Canton and Dover and Millersburg and Coshocton. We're glad that you have joined us. We're in a series, and it's called Repeat After Me, How to Pray Like Jesus. And maybe you're familiar with it by the Lord's Prayer. And what we need to understand is the Lord's Prayer is not something for you and I just to recite. It's much, much greater than that. It's a pattern that Jesus gave his disciples, and it's recorded for you and me so that you and I will know how to really connect with God. And so what we're doing is we're just breaking each phrase down and we're saying, okay, what was Jesus teaching when he said this? And so the first phrase, you probably already know it, is Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so he lets us know that God is our Father. And he becomes our Father through the person of Jesus Christ. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, we now enter into a personal relationship with God, and we know him as Father. And he is good, he's great, and he's generous. And so we need to be able to understand the person of prayer. It's our Father. And then we looked at the prayer of petition. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what is the kingdom? It's wherever the king is ruling and reigning. It's where he's active and exercising his power. And the key for that to happen in your life and in my life and in our world is to surrender to the king and basically say, you know what? I'm reporting. What would you have me do? How would you have me handle this situation? And today we want to look at this third part, and it's the prayer of provision. And here's what Jesus had to say. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. And you can follow along in your note-taking guide if you like. But he chooses this word bread, and it's a universal thing because all of us enjoy bread. All of us do. Have you ever been through Navarre, you know, Nichols Bakery, and you smell that bread? It just makes you want to stop and buy a stick of butter and go in there and buy some hot bread and just eat it. Because bread is common. It's just common. It's something that all around the world, might be a different style of bread, but we all have access to bread. And so it's something very, very common, because what happens is sometimes we think that we can only bring big things to God. And what Jesus is saying is, give us today our daily bread. Now, when he says give us, what he is saying is that you and I are making a confession. We're admitting our weaknesses. We're admitting our inability to meet our own needs. We're admitting that we're vulnerable. We're admitting that I'm incapable of doing this. And we're basically saying, God, I don't have this. But Father, I know that you do. I can't meet this need, but I know that you can. And so the very fact that we pray, okay, give us this day our daily bread, shows that you and I believe that God has something that we need. Because that's why you ask. If you don't ask somebody for something, you don't think that they have anything that you need. And so it takes humility to pray this prayer, because you're admitting, God, I need your help. So let me ask us a question today. Do you believe that God has what you need? Are you humble enough to ask him that? To say, God, I need this in my life. Give us today our daily bread. Well, when Jesus spoke these words, he was teaching, I believe, three things. And I want to share them with you, all right? Here's the first thing, and that is this. See God as the source of my provision. I have to see God as the source of my provision. That God is the source of everything. Everything that you and I see in this world. Everything that you and I can't see in this world. And in the universe. God is the author. God is the creator. He is the maker of everything. God is the source of every good thing. We've learned that. That he's the source. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to be able to see God as the source of my provision. Again, back to what Jesus said. Give us today our daily bread. God, I'm admitting that you're the source. I'm confessing that you have what I need. Jeremiah reminds us that he is the source when he says this, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. You know what? Even that which I don't see, you've created and you've called into existence. There is nothing too hard for you. Do you know anybody like that? Is there anybody in your life that there's absolutely nothing too hard or difficult? No. So if you're looking for a source other than God, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed because you know what? There's things too hard for them. There's things too difficult for them that they can't fulfill in your life or in my life. He goes on to say this. Says, you show loving kindness to thousands, the great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You're sovereign. You are great in counsel. We're going to learn about that. And mighty in work. So let me ask you a question today. Who's your source? Who meets your needs? You know, some of us thought we were going to get our needs met when we got married. And we thought, you know what, I'm going to marry this person and they're going to meet my need. And what we found out is their needs are greater than our own. And we're surprised. We're thinking, man, I thought they were going to meet my need. And here the tables have turned. Their needs are greater than the ones I brought to the marriage. Or maybe you think that your parents are going to meet your needs. And they disappoint you. Because people will disappoint you. And so what Jesus was saying here was this. You and I have to see God as our source of provision, and to realize that he will not withhold any good thing from you. You know, I know that when Patty and I, when we were parenting and having our kids at home, you know, there was nothing that I would withhold from our kids that was good for them, that was good for them. I wanted to give them every good thing because I wanted them to have all the advantages that they possibly could have in life. But if it wasn't good for them, if I thought somehow, some way, even if they didn't understand it at the moment, I would withhold it from them. Even though I had the power to give it to them. Because I wasn't just looking at meeting their need immediately. I had a much larger perspective than that. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. Every good thing, he'll give you. Every good thing, he'll give me. Paul writes it like this. Paul says, and my God will meet some of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. No. And my God will meet most of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. No. God says, I will meet all of your needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. So whatever need you have in your life, it's not being asked, if it's not being met, it's because you're not asking God. Or you're confused on what a need is and a want. So when Jesus prayed this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, he was encouraging you and me to be able to say, you know what? You better see God as your source. And so let me ask you again, what's your source? I remember my brother called me up. This was 30 years ago. And he got fired from his job. And he was making great money. And really, it wasn't his fault. I mean, he made a choice, but it wasn't his fault. He was driving truck, and they had changed the box trucks into semi-trucks. And what happened is the manager did not change the routes. And so the map that was in the box truck was in the semi-truck. And so it took him along the same path that a box truck could clear, but a semi-truck could not clear. And so he went underneath a bridge, and guess what happened? You got it. It hit the top of the box on the semi-truck. And they fired him on the spot. And he called me up. And he asked me, he said, Dwight, I don't know what I'm going to do. My big brother crying because he was making great money, unbelievable money. And I asked him this question. And I named the company he was working for. And I said, is so-and-so your source? If so, you're in big trouble. I don't have any answers for you. But I said, if God is your source, you're going to be okay. He will meet your need. He will show up big in your life if you'll just ask him. So what's your source? Is it your job? Is it your spouse? Is it your mom? Is it your dad? All of those, life's too difficult for those people to meet your need. And so Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. You have to see God as your source of provision. Here's the second thing he's teaching us. We need to trust God daily for provision. We need to trust God daily for provision. Here's what he says. He says, give us today our daily bread. Now, why doesn't Jesus just say, give us today our bread? Because he's emphasizing something here. He's repeating it. He's redundant. He is saying, you know what? This is something that I want you to get. Give us this day our daily bread. He is saying that we are to look to God for our provision, our daily bread. And you know what's interesting? What he's saying here and emphasizing is that God created you and I to eat every day. Do you know that God created your digestive system? And he created you and I to eat 7 or 10 times a day. At least he did me. Okay, maybe it's 3 square meals for you. It's 7 to 10 times for me. But do you know that God could have created you to eat only 1 time a year? Do you know that God could have created you with a digestive system so that you would only eat 1 time a month? Or 1 time a week? But he didn't. He didn't. He created you and I to eat daily. You know why? Because he wants you and I to be dependent upon him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to me on a daily basis. And he did it to remind you and I that you're our source of provision, God. Not weekly, not monthly, not quarterly, not yearly, but daily. Because he wants to talk to you on a daily basis. He desires that relationship. And so daily bread represents the fact that you and I have to trust him on a daily basis. Now, how do you do that? You say, God, give me this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Not weekly, not yearly, not monthly, but daily. Now, how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, Jesus basically was referring back to how God led the Israelites. there in your notes, and I would encourage you to read the whole story, but I want to lift something for us. In Exodus chapter 16, God is leading the people of Israel. And you know what his main goal is? I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn to trust me. And so here's what it says. The Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for a year. No, excuse me. For a quarter. No. For a month. No. For a week. No. For that day. For that day. Daily bread. He goes on to say this. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. I will test them and see if they trust me. Do you know that life is a trust, or life is a test? That God is constantly testing you and I every single day? He's testing you right now. He's testing you today. Life is a test. And he says here, I will test them and see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Wow. So he says they're to bring it in, okay? And on the sixth day, twice as much. He goes on to say this. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather according to each one's needs, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Okay? In his tent, in your household. Okay? If you're a business person, it could be for everyone in your business. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And some, when they measured it by omers, he will gather much, had nothing left over. Let's continue. And he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Wow. And so Jesus was referring back, and they knew it. He was referring back to how God had met their need, that God would provide for them exactly what they needed, according to each one's needs. And what are those needs that you and I have? Okay, let me give you some. One would be physical needs. We all have physical needs, right? So what happens is, what Jesus is saying is, you come to ask God to give you daily bread for your physical needs. It could be your health. It could be food. It could be shelter. What do you need physically in your life? That's what Jesus was saying. You need to be asking God for that, because he will provide for you according to your need, just like he did the Israelites. How about emotional needs? Emotional needs. Are you weary and are you tired? Are you burned out? Are you overwhelmed? You know what Jesus says? Come talk to me. I'll give you what? I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. I will meet your emotional needs. And then how about this one right here? How about relational needs? Relational needs. God, I need this relationship with you. Why? Because you're the only one who fully and completely understands me. You're the only one who completely accepts me. You're the one who knows me best, and yet you're the one who loves me most. You love with an everlasting love. And today, I need this from you. I'm asking you to give it to me. And then there's the what? The spiritual needs. The spiritual needs. All of us have spiritual needs. And I like to say that we're more spiritual than we are physical. And by the way, you know what? If you get your spiritual needs met, these other three will take care of themselves. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be what? Added unto you. Now, Jesus referred to bread as a spiritual symbol. Here's what he said in John chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Wow. "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Gives life, gives spiritual life, real life. The bread that God gives us makes you and I come alive. Alive. That's what he's saying here. And so what you and I need to understand is he is saying this. Jesus said, it's by every word of the mouth that you and I live. It's not by bread alone that man lives. And so let me ask you this question. Do you need a word from God? Do you need a loaf of bread from God? Do you need a word from God for your marriage? Do you need a word of God for your finances? Do you need a word of God for your career? Do you need a word of God for your health? Jesus is saying, you know what? My heavenly Father will give you a word. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the Father's mouth. You say, Dwight, how do you get a word from God? Well, there's two ways, okay? One is called logos. That's the Bible. That's just reading the Bible, which we need to do. The other one is rhema. Rhema. Of where God speaks to you directly. And you say, Dwight, how do I get that? Well, one of the ways is you take time to meet with God. I would challenge all of us. Okay, we're coming up on the start of our 40-day of fast and prayer. God, you know what? I need a word from you. I need a word from you because you know all things. You give counsel. You are the all-wise God. And I just challenge you every morning that you would take 15 minutes, just 15 minutes, and read the daily, and maybe the passage that is there, and say this, God, speak, your servant is listening. God, I need a word for my marriage. I need a word for our finances. I need a word from this. And here's what I promise you. If you will do that, you will hear from God. You will hear from God. Why? Because he promises. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. And he wants you and I to do it on a daily basis. On a daily basis. If you will read through the scripture here, what you will find out is this. You will find out that if they carried in too much for the day, listen to me, whatever was left over would turn into maggots. If they brought in too much, it wouldn't last the night. You know why? Because God wanted them to depend on him on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. And so God asked the Israelites this question, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? I told you just gather enough for you. But you know what? You had a scarcity mindset. What's a scarcity mindset? I'm afraid that there's not going to be enough for me. You had a scarcity mindset, and you know what you did? You brought in a whole bushel full, and you only needed a half of a bushel. And so you know what that tells me? You don't trust me. You know what that tells me? You don't follow my word. You know what that tells me? You don't obey me. You know, I told you that on the sixth day, you need to bring in twice as much as you normally were. Because on the Sabbath, there will be no bread there for you. And some of you didn't believe me. And you got up in the morning, and you found out that there was none there. And those of you who did believe me and trust me, you found out that there were no maggots in it, that I caused it to last and to be able to meet your need. You see, God was testing them. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to follow my commands and my instructions? Or are you going to go do your own thing because you're full of fear and you're scared? See, the way in which God does it with us today is two ways. One is tithing. One is tithing. That's how he tests you and me whether we trust him or not. It's daily. God, you know what? I believe that if I tithe, that you will be able to make 90% last further and go further than if I kept everything. You say, Dwight, why do you talk about that? Because I want you to experience God as your provider. Because when you know God as your provider, your fears and your insecurities go down, and your trust in God goes up. Listen to me, okay? Listen to me. When you're not generous towards God, your money will rot. It'll be just like that bread. It'll rot. Same way when we don't honor God with a Sabbath, you know what? You'll rot. You'll die. You'll croak. You'll burn out. You'll fry. Because what happens is you won't trust God with your work. You won't trust God with your career. And so the two ways in which we say, God, I'm going to trust you daily for my provision is with our treasures and with our time. And we cry out to God and we say, God, give me our daily bread. Look at what Proverbs has to say. This is unbelievable. Give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Do you know the more you have, the less you will trust God potentially? Because you'll be dependent upon your bank account. You'll be dependent upon what you have. And what happens is you'll disown God because God created you and I to live daily upon his dependency. And so the writer says, only give me my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Wow. You know what he's saying? Just give me enough. Just give me enough so that I won't become arrogant and prideful and be able to think that I can make it on my own. But don't let me be so poor that I end up having to steal from somebody and bring shame upon your name. You see, in the body of Christ, we usually hear two different messages. One is that Jesus preached prosperity. He did not. Jesus did not preach a prosperity gospel. Or that Jesus preached a poverty gospel. The poorer you are, the holier you are. Okay? You know what he preached? He preached a provision gospel. That God will provide what you and I need. And so what is Jesus teaching us? Give us this day our daily bread. He's teaching us to see God as the source of our provision. And he's teaching you and I to trust God daily, daily, not weekly, not monthly, not quarterly, not yearly, but monthly, daily for our provision. How you doing on that? Here's the third thing that Jesus is teaching us, and that is this, to be generous with God's supply of vision or provision. Be generous with God's supply of provision. Let me ask you this question, okay? What's a trait in your family What's a trait in your family? And you would say, you know what? It was true of my dad, and it was true of my grandfather and his father. Or it was true of my mother. It was true of her dad and his mother. What's that trait that has just carried on for generations and generations? You got it? It may be the color of your hair. Okay? My wife happens to have red hair. Guess what? Her daddy did. And two of our boys do. And so that's just a trait that continues to go on and on and on. It's a trait. And maybe there's a trait in your life or a trait in your family that you would just say, well, that's just the way the Joneses are. That's a trait of a Jones. That's a trait of a Smith. That's the trait of fill in the blank. Do you know that our Heavenly Father wants to carry on His trait? And you know what His trait is? He's generous. He's giving. He shares freely. And this is why Jesus prayed it like this. Here's what He said. Give us today, not my daily bread. Is that what it says? No. Give us today our daily bread. You know why? Because we're a part of a family. Our Father, which art in heaven. And so Jesus was saying, you know what? See God as the source of your provision. Trust God daily for your provision. And then be generous with the provision that God has provided for you. Look at what Isaiah records. He says, share your bread. Could be money, dough, okay? Share your bread with the hungry and open your homes to the homeless poor. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear and do not refuse to help your own relatives. Now, that's a hard one to swallow. Would you agree with me? See, do you know, can I just help you with this? Okay. The first line of defense in taking care of one another is not the church. It's your family. It's your family. That's why it's so important to have good, strong relationships in your family. The first person that you go to for help is a family member. Is a family member. You say, you know what? I don't have it. Here's what David said. David said, I have been old, or I've been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. What's righteousness mean? We learned this last week. It means to be in right relationship with people and right relationship with God. And so he says, and do not refuse to help your own relatives. Then, here's what he says, then, and this is powerful, my favor will shine on you like the morning sun. You want the favor of God on your life? Then you have to be humble and you have to be generous and you have to be a person of integrity. Without being a person of integrity and humble and generous, you don't have the favor of God on you. Those are the keys to anything. Then the favor of God will shine on you like the morning sun, and your wounds will be quickly healed. How long have you been dealing with that wound? How long have you been dealing with that hurt? Wouldn't you say it's long enough? See, God's promising you and me, if we're generous with what God has blessed us with, He will heal your wounds quickly, and you won't continue to trip up over them. I will always be with you to save you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My presence, even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. He goes on to say this. My presence will protect you on every side, the front, the rear, the right, the left. You don't have anything. You know what? Your enemies have nothing against you. Let your enemies come. You have nothing to fear because I will defeat them. That's what he's saying here. And when you pray, and when you pray, I will answer. You say, Dwight, I don't get very many of my prayers answered. Maybe it's because you're not generous. Y'all okay? See, there's conditions Okay? Not on being loved by God, but on Him answering your prayer, my prayer. And so be generous with what God has supplied you with. John wraps it up for us today with this. So this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for who? Our brothers and our sisters. If anyone has material possessions, if anyone has more than enough to live on, and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity. I like the word compassion. Compassion means that you're in action, you're engaged, but has no pity on them. How can the love of God be in that person? Wow. Dear children, he says, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Give us today our daily bread. God, help me to see you as the source of my provision. Help me to trust you daily for my provision. And help me to be generous with all that you supply me. That's prayer. And Jesus wants you and I to pray after this manner. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. Wow. We thank you that Jesus gave us the key, the secret to living a successful life, a significant life, a life of strength, and that is by daily connecting with you. And I pray, God, that over these next 40 days of fasting and prayer, that we will desire to have a word from you about what's going on in our life, and that it will transform us and change us in incredible, unbelievable ways. We thank you that you're the great provider. We thank you that nothing's too hard for you. We thank you that nothing will you withhold from us that is good. And so today we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.